Have you started to notice a pattern in the book of Acts? The apostles will go to a new place, and they will proclaim the word of God to those who are there. Some of the people who are there will receive the word and believe it, but others will hear that same word and reject it. I mean, take our reading from last week as an example of this. The governor, the Roman governor, heard the word of God, and he accepted it, and he believed. But Bar-Jesus, the false prophet, heard that same word and rejected it. It's something that we've seen happen earlier in the book of Acts, and it's also something that we will see happen more and more as we go forward in the book. So in our reading for tonight, Paul and Barnabas sail away from Cyprus. They head up north towards the mainland where they land at Perga. And then they go along the road until they come to the city of Antioch. Now, of course, this is not the same Antioch as we've seen before in the book of Acts. It's the same name, but a different city. But once they get to this Antioch, they go and they find the synagogue. And on the Sabbath day, they were invited to speak about the word of God. And so Paul uses it as an opportunity to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to all those who were there that day. Now, most of this reading, of course, is his message, but it's also a very familiar one that we've heard before. God raised up a people for himself. He gave them a king, and he made promises to that king, to King David. And God kept those promises in Jesus Christ, his son. Those who should have listened didn't. But now the message of the gospel was coming to those hearers that day, calling on everyone who heard to believe the gospel so that they too might be saved. All of it, of course, is a very fine message. I'm sure there's a lot of things that could be said about it, but it's not what I want to focus on today. What I want to focus on is how the people react to this message. On the one hand, we are told in verse 42, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. So in other words, some of the people who heard Paul on that day were excited. They wanted to hear more. They were begging him to hear more. And when they gathered the following week, we're told that practically the entire city had turned out to hear what Paul and Barnabas had to say. In other words, they were extremely eager to hear. But on the other hand, we're also told in verse 45, but when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. So in other words, some of them heard the exact same message, the exact same word, and they rejected it. They refused to hear any more. And when all the people gathered on the following week, they actually tried to stop it. They tried to prevent others from hearing that word. In other words, they had straight refused. So we can see very clearly then, here in this reading, two different reactions to the one word of God. Some believe the word, and some do not. But why? Why would that be the case? Why do some people hear the gospel and receive it, while others hear the same gospel and reject it? But how we answer that question, Christians, actually makes a difference. Because how we answer that question will either drive us forward to continue proclaiming the word of God, or it will hold us back so that we won't want to talk about it anymore. It will either drive us forward so that even in the face of stiff opposition, we will continue to speak the word of God, or it will hold us back so that even the smallest resistance will cause us to just give up. Because we will face opposition, Christians. Some people will not want to listen to what we have to say. That's just reality. And there will be times when it feels like we're trying really hard, but it's not bearing much fruit. That's also part of being in the midst of this sinful world. But will we be motivated to carry on? Or will we hold back and refuse? All of it depends on how we answer the question, why do some believe and others do not? Well, to answer that question, people will sometimes point to the one who is speaking as the reason why. That the one who is speaking is the reason why some listen and others do not. In other words, it all depends on our ability, how well we can speak. If you're clear enough, they say, well, people will have to accept it. If you're persuasive enough, they say, well, then people will believe it. The secret is just finding the right technique, just finding the right method. If you can figure out that secret, success is sure to come. Now, of course, how we say something is important. I mean, people are not really going to listen to us if we're boring or if we're confusing, for example. If I'm a good speaker, that can be a great benefit to speaking the word of God. And if I'm a bad speaker, well, that can be a great hindrance to hearing the word of God. We should always try our very best to proclaim what God would have us say. But that's not the reason why some believe and some don't. I could be the most persuasive speaker of all time in all of history, and some people would still refuse to listen. Because it doesn't depend on our human words, and it doesn't depend on how we say them. God's word does not depend on human eloquence. Well, some people will sometimes say, well, it's the one who's listening. That's the reason why. That's why some believe and some don't. It's something within them. It's something about them that causes them to believe. Some people, you see, are just more inclined to accept the gospel. Some people are less inclined. Some people have a lot more garbage that gets in the way of allowing them to hear, and, well, some people have less. So the reason why some believe and some don't is just because of the kind of person that they are. And at first glance, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, it does seem like there are some people who are less willing to listen to what God has to say, especially if they're caught up in sins. Their sins can harden them against listening to the Lord. Think back in the book of Exodus, for example, with the Pharaoh at that time. We are told that his heart was hardened more and more so that he continued to refuse to listen to God even though he saw his clear power. He saw miracles happen right in front of him, and yet he refused to believe. And it's the same here with the Jews who hear everything about Jesus and yet refuse to listen. In fact, they fight back against it. See, the harder that a heart gets, the harder it's going to push back against God. In that sense, I can harden myself against the word. I can make it more difficult for my ears to hear what it is that God has to say. That much is true. But it doesn't mean that some people are better than others. As if it's just the bad people, the especially hardened people, who refuse. See, the Pharisees in Jesus' time were the people who were the most willing to follow after God. They wanted to listen to God, and yet they had the hardest hearts. They refused to listen to Jesus. And Paul, on the other hand, was totally hardened against God, persecuting God's church, murdering Christians. And yet God converted him. No, the reason is not in the person who hears Christians, because all have fallen short of the glory of God. And besides, if those were the answers, if it depended on the one who was speaking or on the one who was listening, well, who would be motivated to keep going, especially when faced with opposition? If I knew that it all depended on me to convert somebody else, would I ever speak? If I knew that I would be the reason why somebody else was going to hell because I didn't say something the right way, I would never want to speak at all. I'd never want to mention a word. I just would stop speaking altogether. And if it depended totally on the one who was listening, well, we'd probably say, is it even worth the effort? Some people just seem like they'd be too much trouble. Like, they're not going to listen ever, so why should I even try? In that case, well, I wouldn't want to do anything else either. I would have no desire to carry out what God wants me to do. No, Christians, Luke shows us the reason why. The reason why some believe and others do not. He says in verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed." Pay attention to that word appointed. Appointed is a military word, like being appointed to a particular post, or being assigned to a particular task. That's the same idea. But appointing is not something that you do for yourself. I don't appoint myself to a particular position. No, someone else appoints me. Someone else puts me into that position. So those who heard and believed among the Gentiles did not appoint themselves to eternal life. No, they were appointed. Appointed by God. God chose them. God made them his own. God brought them to himself purely out of his free grace and mercy. Not depending on anything else. Not depending on Paul who was speaking or on the people who heard, lest anyone should boast. If we believe, Christians, it's because God gave us faith. If we accept what God has to say, it's because God moved us to accept it. It is his work from beginning to end. He and he alone is the reason why we believe. And do you see how knowing that it's God's work, drives us forward to continue speaking? Do you see how that continues to give us the strength to keep going? How even when it seems hopeless, even when it seems like it's not going to do any good at all, God is at work within us. God uses our words. God causes them to bear fruit. And if someone comes to faith because of the things that I say, well, that's not because of me, but rather because of God. so we can be bold in our witness. We can speak with confidence, even when the way seems hard. And we can, even when it seems like no one is listening to us, we can still speak the gospel, because God's word will never return empty. It will do exactly what he has sent it to do. Let us pray. Almighty God, who in wisdom has chosen our weakness to proclaim your strength, help us to say what you would have us say, and cause it to bear abundant fruit to the glory of your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.